Well, it's time to talk in depth about the Baltimore Ravens, and nobody knows the Ravens better than Aaron Wilson, Baltimore's son. Aaron, the Monday night game, so impressive. Everybody here in Philadelphia thinks the Ravens one of the teams to beat in the NFL. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, I think that Baltimore is definitely one of the stronger teams, especially in the AFC. What I'm curious about is, can they keep it up against a quality opponent? I'm a little concerned about just a few things that cropped up in that game, even though the score was so one-sided, a few troubling things about the defense with the run defense. But, you know, other than that, it was a really strong performance, and the Ravens look like they're, you know, in strong position to defend their AFC North title and make another run in the playoffs.
Have you seen a lot of growth from Joe Flacco? He just was so comfortable in the pocket on Monday, an assortment of weapons. The offense was wide open. I mean, I guess from the outside, it was really eye-opening that the Ravens have so much explosiveness on that side of the ball.
Right, Dave. Yeah, it was something that we'd seen in the off-season workouts and also just the training camp, where we can watch all the practices, and you know, we've been seeing Joe with great command of the offense and making some really difficult throws, and he's taking advantage of these weapons, and they're not just, you know, an Anquan Boldin, but it's Torrey Smith and a Jacoby Jones, and he's got good tight ends, Ned Dixon and Dennis Pitta, and of course one of his best weapons, just dump the football off to Ray Rice and or hand it off to him. So I think this is the first time that they've really granted him the freedom to audible much of the line. There's a few of, I'm not comparing him to Peyton Manning, but just Jim Caldwell, his addition as quarterback's coach, they've implemented a few things that Indianapolis would do where, you know, Peyton comes to the line, he surveys it. Joe's maybe not as demonstrative in anything he does. He's very low-key and stoic, but he does come to the line now and looks over the defense and then makes a play call, and they're doing some muddle huddle or sugar huddle, if you will, before. They're in no huddle quite a bit, and they're running a lot of shotgun, and these are things that he did at Delaware, especially the shotgun, and these are just things that make Joe comfortable and get him in a rhythm, and yeah, we are seeing great progress from Joe Flacco.
How's the offensive line, Aaron? I know there have been some questions about the line, some movement early this summer. It seems like it stabilized very nicely on Monday night.
Right, yeah. It's still a work in progress, but they held up well on Monday night. The only person they had a lot of trouble with, and I think everyone will have trouble with him this year, is Geno Atkins. And Geno had a couple of sacks. And you know, Geno's one of these guys, you know, he really overwhelmed Matt Burke. Matt is the elder statesman of the line. He's 36, but everyone else, they've gone young. They've got Michael Orr over at left tackle. He replaced the 32-year-old Bryant McKinney, who's had some weight issues. They get Ramon Harewood, a very unlikely success story. Guy that was a six-round draft pick from Morehouse a couple years ago, spent the first two seasons of his career on injured reserve. All of a sudden, at the end of the preseason, they think he looks good at guard. They're worried about Bobby Williams' ankle and his age. He's a 35-year-old guy. He'll be 36 September 25th. They get him out of the lineup. They put Harewood in, and Harewood looked good out there. He's a converted tackle. He can move. He ran a 4.9 at about 3:30 at his pro day at Morehouse. Very interesting project. And then they were always feeling good about Kalishio Zomeli, their second-round pick. He was an all-Big 12 guy, did real well at the Senior Bowl. They get him plugged in at right tackle. They felt like he was one of the best five blockers all along, and they find a spot for him. And that's why Michael Orr is over at the left side again. Not sure about Michael Orr. Wasn't great at left tackle a couple years ago, but he has always, you know, had the athletic ability. Just want to see if he'll be consistent, avoid penalties, and not have any assignment busts. In that first game, he didn't have those problems, so maybe this is a trend for the offensive line.
Aaron, the Eagles obviously played very well defensively against a not super impressive Cleveland Browns offense, but what we saw was a really aggressive scheme, a lot of bump and run from the cornerbacks, and you know, Jim Washburn and that defensive line, they like to get up the field. How do you see that matchup, Ravens offense, Eagles defense?
You know, I think it's going to be a little tougher for them because of the really excellent corners that Philadelphia has. You know, when you look at what Torrey and those guys face, they don't see a lot of that kind of coverage technique, so I think it's going to be a challenge for them. Anquan Boldin can, you know, he's not going to beat you with his speed. He'll beat you with his muscle. That's his thing. He's a very strong wide receiver, unusually, you know, muscular at 220 pounds, but I think that it's going to be tough. I think that they're going to have to do some quick game stuff, kind of get in a rhythm, maybe work some shorter passes. I don't know if there'll be enough time because of Trent Cole, and I expect that, you know, to be kind of a tough combination because you've got Trent Cole coming and other pass rushers, and then you've got excellent coverage. So maybe this is one of those games where you decide, hey, we can't air it out as much, but maybe we should run the football. And Ray Rice had limited touches, 10 carries, but it was for 68 yards. So obviously it's very effective. They only had the fullback on the field for 22 snaps, Vonta Leach. He's one of the best. I think he's, in my opinion, the best pure blocking fullback, sort of traditional fullback that there is in the game. And if they get him going, maybe that's the strategy. Because I just kind of think, when you look at Philadelphia, I think they're difficult to pass on. You saw what happened a week ago. And maybe that's not the way to go, despite all the improvements Baltimore's made. Maybe just this isn't a great matchup for them, passing-wise.
You know, we don't – I think the first 2 weeks generally, Aaron, are incredibly unpredictable in the NFL. Last week, Michael Vick, 4 interceptions. Len comes back and leads a 91-yard drive to win the game. I wonder what the chatter around the Baltimore locker room is this week about number 7 and what he brings to the table.
Right, they're wondering about him, and you know, you're kind of getting the feel that maybe they shouldn't put a spy on him. They feel like that takes them out of their defense. I think they feel confident enough to not do that. They still feel like he's extremely dangerous and unpredictable, and that he can put the football where he has to. But they also take note of the interceptions and, you know, feel like there's some opportunity. I think that you won't hear fear from the Ravens about Michael Vick, but there's respect. And you know, they're smart enough to kind of discount, okay, he didn't have a great game, but he's still Michael Vick. And I think, you know, that's something you're hearing around the Ravens. No one's saying, oh, well, he's washed up or anything like that. Obviously, you know, no one would say that publicly. But, you know, you're hearing a real theme of, you know, that this guy, you know, he'll likely bounce back. That's the expectation. And there's no reason for anyone to feel cocky. There were some problems setting the edge from the outside linebackers in the first game. And they're very concerned about Vick and LeSean McCoy getting out on the perimeter against them.
How good is the Ravens' defense these days? We are amazed every day when Ray Lewis continues to evolve physically and certainly is playing great football. Ed Reed, you know, a pro football Hall of Fame member someday. Remarkable to you, Aaron, that these players have still played at such a high level?
Yeah, the durability is amazing to me. And I've covered all of Ed's games and I've covered Ray since 01. And I look at what they do, and it's amazing because they dedicate themselves in the offseason. If anything, their offseason, they make it more difficult than what they have to do during the season. It kind of, you know, takes you back to like what a Walter Payton would do in terms of paying the price.
Yeah.
And these guys really do. And they go through a lot of pain, especially Ed, because Ed has some injuries that are just sort of permanent injuries in terms of nerve impingements in his neck and shoulder. He's, you know, definitely, you know, a guy that is, you know, not comfortable all the time out there, and it affects his tackling sometimes because of how he feels. These are things that he really can't, you know, fix. He can only try to strengthen the muscles and try to, you know, feel as good as he can out there. But it's a long-term injury. He's had it for years. With Ray, he's gotten himself down to 235 pounds. He's really healthy. He's lean. He looks like he's more of a factor as an every-down linebacker now than he was a year ago when he was playing at about 250 to 255 pounds. So he looks good out there. I think it's kind of giving him a shot in the arm, rejuvenating him a bit. And then, you know, you look at the other guys on defense, they're missing some people. You know, Terrell Suggs, that's a big loss to not have him out there, to not have Jarrett Johnson. They haven't really replaced him very well. Albert McClellan and Paul Kruger, they combined for 3 tackles, playing a ton of snaps, no pass rush, no sacks, no pressures. The outside linebackers, really, it was an ugly first game for them. And Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, a lot of the yards he was getting, they were gashing. Paul Kruger, Andrew Whitworth just mauled him. And I say these things, you know, you're talking about a 44-13 game, but these are some of the things that the coaches have pinpointed and just real obvious to see. You know, you'll see these outside backers and you'll wonder, wow, they sort of stick out like a sore thumb from the rest of the guys who are playing Ravens football, and these guys have to raise their game.
Hey, last thing, Aaron, how, and you've seen them all summer, all spring, how good are the Ravens? I mean, what do you expect on Sunday? Do the Eagles have a shot here?
Yes. Yeah, I think the Eagles do have a shot, and the reason they have a shot are just some of the, you know, excellent talent they have. When you think about the possibility of Trent Cole having a big game on a Michael Orr, the possibility of LeSean McCoy and Michael Vick getting outside and making some things happen, you know, the talent of DeSean Jackson. I just think that, you know, Philadelphia has some personnel and some matchups that do work in their favor, and it's not going to be, I think, a one-sided game at all for Baltimore or Philadelphia. I expect a close football game, and I'm not feeling great about my pick. I did pick Baltimore, but I've got some really reservations about it, because my expectation is Philadelphia bounces back and will play extremely well at home. I think they're, as you know real well, they weren't too happy about how they played, and shouldn't be, other than the offensive yards piled up and some of the things they did defensively. But yeah, you got to think that Philadelphia at home makes a really strong statement and gives Baltimore all they can handle.
Hey, Aaron, thank you very much. We will see you on Sunday. Aaron Wilson joins us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.